Roman's Product Management Podcast. Product teams play a key role in solving user problems and achieving product success. But who should lead the team and manage its work? The head of product, the product manager, product owner, or someone else? In this episode, I argue that product teams should be self-managing. I explain why this is preferable and what it takes to practice self-management effectively. But let's get started by exploring what a self-managing product team is. Now, a product team is a group of people who work together, have ownership of a product, and are responsible for making the product successful. It differs from a development team and from a product management team. The former is tasked with designing and building a product. The latter is an org unit. Now, traditionally, the team is led by a senior manager like the head of product or by a product manager. They set product goals or OKRs, coordinate the work of the team members, and ensure that the team is on track. While this approach works, there is a better way, using self-managing product teams. On such a team, leadership is shared amongst the members. They are collectively responsible for progressing the products and meeting agreed outcomes. Consequently, they collaborate to identify and manage the necessary tasks and improve their way of working. Self-managed product teams can be more effective than manager-led ones, as they offer the following three benefits. First, better decisions. None of us is as smart as all of us, Ken Blanchard rightly noted. Empowering the team to own their work, set product goals, and determine what needs to be done leads to better decisions and increases the chances of offering a successful product. Second, increased productivity and motivation. Owning the work and deciding what to do leads to more productive and motivated teams. As Steve Jobs once said, it doesn't make sense to hire smart people and then tell them what to do. And third, reduced workload for the head of product or product manager. Asking the team to manage their work allows the individual to focus on their core responsibilities. It prevents them from becoming overworked, turning into a bottleneck, and delaying decisions. If you have applied agile practices, you are likely to be familiar with the concept of self-managing development teams. But you might also have had bad experiences and doubts that the approach actually works, particularly for product teams. I've certainly seen my fair share of teams that struggled to self-manage. Some suffered from slow and long-winded decision-making processes, while others underperformed and lacked accountability. And in some cases, the teams never became truly self-managing. They always had to rely on an individual to tell them what to do. However, I've also seen plenty of teams that succeeded at self-management. What distinguished them from those who struggled? The successful teams had been set up effectively and received the support they needed. Self-management doesn't happen by chance, and telling a team to self-manage isn't enough. For many organizations, self-management is still comparatively new. It has to be encouraged and learned. To help you establish successful self-managing product teams, I've put together 6 practical tips, which I'm sharing with you now. Tip number 1 is choose the right team design. How teams are set up has a profound impact on their performance, as research by the late Harvard professor and team expert J. Richard Hackman shows. Hackman describes 3 factors that influence team performance in his book, Collaborative Intelligence. These are team design, team launch, and team coaching. According to Hackman, the team design has the biggest influence on team performance, about 60%, and it includes ensuring that the right people join the product team, that the team's goals and authority are clear, and that the team receives the right support. The second biggest influence comes from the team launch. That's roughly 30%. This includes helping the team members bond and establishing shared ways of working. The third factor, team coaching, finally has a comparatively small impact, about 10% according to Hackman. Now, this does not mean, however, that it is unimportant. The opposite is true, as I'll explain later. While Hackman's insights are generally applicable, getting the team design right is especially important for self-managing product teams. Why? Well, the lack of a single leader means that shortcomings in the design are even harder to compensate for than on a manager-led team. On a self-managing team, there is no one who tells people what to do, and who sorts out problems for the team. To put it differently, if you want product teams to self-manage successfully, you must put the right foundations in place and ensure that the teams are set up correctly. As I explain in more detail in the episode, Setting Up Product Teams for Success, the link is in the show notes. Now, a key consideration when designing a team is to choose the right level of authority. And the minimum empowerment a product team requires is owning the product discovery and delivery decisions. This allows the team to set specific product goals or outcomes, determine the features and UX of the product, and guide their implementation. While this level of empowerment can be sufficient, I recommend increasing it further and giving the team the authority to make strategic product decisions. This grants the team full stack ownership of the product and allows them to move fast and quickly progress the product. I explain how you can make this approach work in the episode Strategy and Product Teams. The link is in the show notes again. But no matter which empowerment level is right in your context, make a conscious choice and clearly communicate the team's authority to its members, the stakeholders, and the rest of the organization. This will not only impact the team's work and the decisions it can take, it will also affect how the team is staffed and which roles and skills are required. My second tip is to encourage disciplined collaboration. Self-management does not mean that everyone can do whatever they want, and it has nothing to do with working in a chaotic, unorganized way. Instead, it requires disciplined collaboration, and this includes the following four aspects. First, working on shared goals. The key goals for a product team are product vision, user, customer, and business goals, as well as product outcomes or product OKRs. The first set of goals might be captured on a product strategy, the second one on an outcome-based product roadmap. And to facilitate collaboration, all team members should work on the same product goal at any time. Second, establishing common processes to work together effectively, including how to make joint decisions and how to identify and track team tasks. Third, running collaborative workshops to make and review decisions, coordinate the work of the team, and improve processes. I find that quarterly strategy workshops and participating in sprint reviews are beneficial for product teams. And fourth, using common tools to capture key decisions and track the work. For example, my product vision board to formulate the vision and product strategy, and a Kanban board to visualize and track the team tasks. To get organized and collaborate well, the team will greatly benefit from an experienced coach, as I'll explain in the last tip, tip number six. My third tip is to empower the product manager to be primus inter pares. And as a fun fact, I had 9 years of Latin at school. How crazy is that? Anyway, practicing collaborative decision making helps product teams make better decisions. But as beneficial as it is, the approach has a dark side. Teams can spend a long time trying to reach an agreement, and in the worst case, a team gets stuck in endless arguments and is unable to move forward. I therefore recommend empowering the product manager to decide when no agreement can be reached. And this makes the product manager primus inter pares, first among equals. As with any special power, it should be applied carefully and used as a last resort when a team is unable to agree despite having tried hard. What's more, it does not grant the product manager positional power. The individual is not the boss of the other team members. My fourth tip is to establish shared leadership within the team. While it's helpful to empower the product manager to have the final say if no agreement can be reached, as I just explained, it would be wrong to think that the individual should be the team leader. This would prevent self-management and result in a manager-led product team. Instead, the team members should share leadership and lead in their respective areas of expertise. Think of a flock of geese flying in a V formation and rotating the lead position. For example, the product manager offers product leadership and guides product decisions. This includes ensuring that an effective product strategy and actionable product roadmap are available and that the right KPIs are used. Compare this to the tech lead who champions the technical decisions and ensures, for instance, that the right architecture and technologies are chosen. And if you work with an extended product team that comprises key stakeholders, which is something I recommend, then they exercise leadership too. For instance, the marketeer leads the marketing work and the sales rep leads the effort to create and implement the right sales strategy. And you can find out more about integrating stakeholders into the product team and forming an extended product team by listening to the episode, Should Stakeholders Be on the Product Team? Again, I'll put the link in the show notes. My fifth tip is to provide the right guidance to the team. Establishing shared leadership within the product team is great, but it's not enough. A product team also needs direction and support from outside, and this can be achieved, at least in part, by using an overarching portfolio strategy and portfolio goals, which are set by the head of product and direct the team and its work. So the idea is that the product team is guided by the portfolio decisions, and its product strategy and product outcomes must follow their portfolio counterparts. To put it differently, the product team must implement the overarching portfolio strategy. In this way, the team receives the necessary direction and different teams are aligned, while the individual product teams have full control over their products and can innovate quickly. And you can learn more about this approach and how to make it work by listening to the episode Strategy and Product Teams. Again, the link is in the description. And my last tip, tip number six, is to use a skilled team coach. Now, a team coach is helpful for any team, but it's essential for a self-managing one. All successful self-managed teams I've seen over the past 20 years were supported by a skilled coach. And as I mentioned earlier, self-management does not happen by chance. Teams have to learn how to organize their work and set and meet agreed goals. A team coach plays a vital role in this, as they offer the following support to the team. They ensure that the team goals, roles, and responsibilities are clear. They facilitate team meetings, including strategy workshops and team retrospectives. They help the team members communicate and work together effectively. They also help the team to make decisions collaboratively, reach sustainable agreements, and learn how to deal with conflict constructively, use disagreements as a source of innovation. They help the team continuously improve its performance, processes, and tools, and they encourage people to practice sustainable pace so they stay healthy and motivated. Now, I'm fully aware that some organizations have had bad experiences with coaches, especially on agile teams, but my experience suggests that if you choose coaches with the right skills and give them the support they need, their impact more than justifies the cost incurred. The team coach role might be filled by an experienced agile coach, Scrum Master, product coach, or another individual with the right capabilities. In some cases, the head of product or a senior product manager, who might be referred to as lead or group product manager, might also be able to act as the team coach, at least temporarily. I hope you found this episode helpful. You can learn more about working with self-managing product teams by attending my product leadership workshop and reading or listening to my book, How to Lead in Product Management. Let me know if you need help establishing successful self-managing product teams, or address another leadership challenge. Thank you for listening.